This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris. You're listening to Do You Need a Ride?
That's the ending. That's
the ending. Oh my God, that's scary. We might have to keep that. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
I thought it would be a fun little stunt to do the podcast backwards today.
So do you have any plugs?
Yeah, I will be online and occasionally doing stand-up. Oh, that's so funny. It just came out of me. That's a podcast first.
You know, and what's exciting about having this job, Chris, is that stuff like that, which if we worked in IT and made a mistake on that level, we would probably get written up if not called into the boss's office. On podcasting, it's just one more compelling, interesting moment between us to talk about and make jokes.
Yeah, and especially since I'm working with the head boss.
That's right.
I didn't even get written up.
You don't know. This might be in your final review, year-end review.
This is like in Spanish class in high school where she silently was giving me an F every day for making kids laugh.
And was it for making kids laugh or not listening and interrupting her?
You're right to take devil's advocate, and God, she was the devil. She was El Diablo incarnate.
I'm here to represent her. I'm her public defender. I'm not getting paid a lot, and I don't care that much.
One day yelling at me, and this was in the early 90s, so it was less common. She was yelling at me, and then a bunch of marijuana fell out of her purse, and I put that in my mental bank. I didn't say anything at the time. Also, I knew her son, who was my sister's age, had some addiction problems, real ones. And so one day when she's yelling at me in front of the class, I said, quit trying to parent me when you can't even parent your own son.
Oh, my God.
And there's a lot that I should have, many stories we won't have time for before that, where I honestly still think she deserved it. She was mean to me and my sister. She was like a mean person that shouldn't have been a teacher. She didn't like young people.
Yeah.
But yes, I said something I shouldn't have, but I was a punk rock angry kid, and we had to storm down to the principal's office. My parents were called. And then my dad, she forgot that I had this older sister who also had trouble with her. And my dad just told those stories. It's like, yeah, she seemed to have a problem with my daughter as well. I think that maybe she's a person that doesn't like young people and shouldn't be teaching. And yeah. They said, okay, we'll just put Chris in another class. And then I got B's and did Spanish in college and forgot it all.
Nice.
I've forgotten all of it. No recuerdo.
Well, you remembered whatever the
Zapatos.
Zapatos, yeah. Biblioteca, I've heard you say time and again.
Mi bonito, mi feo. I can point to things and decide whether they're pretty or ugly. Mm-hmm. And that's really all you need to do.
True.
When I go to Mexico, Facebook. I just point to things and say, ugly, beautiful,
beautiful.
Ugly, beautiful.
Beautiful.
And like Peter Gunn? I don't know. Who's the
Tim
guy?
Gunn?
Tim Gunn. I saw him in New York City.
Just walking around?
He was walking out of the Met. I was going into the Met. He was sharp dressed.
Oh, yeah. Every day.
We looked at each other in the eyes. I think I got an affirmative nod from him.
If you were looking at him all excited, I bet you did.
I looked happy, and he's like, he looks happy, and so I got a little head. I don't know much about him. He does judge things, right?
Yes, on Project One Way, which I don't watch. But the weird thing that we're talking about this is that just today I was watching TikTok, and Seth Meyers told a Tim Gunn story where he was at the airport with his mother and father. And his mother was being loud because he was telling this funny story, like his mom talks loud and talks a lot. And then...
He has a loud voice. It's probably in the family.
So they see Tim Gunn at their gate, and he's like afraid to say anything because he doesn't want his mom talking to Tim Gunn, thinking that she'd be inappropriate. Then they announce that the flight is delayed. And he said, I've seen a lot of celebrities interact with... you know, their audience and people that like them.
Yeah.
He's like, no one is nicer than Tim Gunn. He was making videos with a guy going, hi, Carol, I'm here with your husband, Bob. It's Tim Gunn. The flight's delayed, but we're going to make it work. And he was like...
Wow.
It was a really funny story about how Tim Gunn is the nicest celebrity.
Wow. And that news spreads like Keanu Reeves on a subway. Giving up his seat to people and things like that.
Oh, I thought you were using Keanu Reeves on the subway as a metaphor of how things spread.
I tried to at the last minute because I realized I was about to mention a mode of transport, but it didn't really work. There are literal videos of Keanu Reeves on buses or subways, like where someone's filming him because he's famous, and then he gets caught doing letting someone sit in his seat. Minor things, you know. Not Tim Gunn doing... impromptu cameos for people.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, it's like he enjoys it. Unlike your Spanish teacher who shouldn't have been teaching high school, Tim Gunn does enjoy being a man of the people and a celeb.
Thank you for finally being on my side with that, because I thought you were on my teacher's side for a minute.
Well, here's the thing. We can be very rewriting of history when it's like, my teacher didn't like me because I made children laugh, or it's like, yes, we all were the class clown.
Yes.
It was irritating to almost everybody.
I was disruptive. And in Spanish class, you have to listen. Yeah. And I was taking that ability from other kids.
Wow, that was really... I appreciate and respect your accountability in this moment.
Thank you. If I, you know, I just come here for therapy.
Doing great.
Thank you.
You've made huge progress since this podcast started 13 minutes ago.
I'll see you next Wednesday. That's our time.
We're out of time.
I decide. Boy, I'm still a little shaken by opening with my closing line.
Well, but do you want to tell the people why? Because you were talking about it earlier, and I do think it's relevant.
I am low on magnesium.
No, before that.
Oh, I went late night. I did a thing that I used to do, but I skated until like 1 a.m. at an underground parking garage because I was asked by my friend Garrett, who's married to Laura Keitlinger, and I haven't seen him in a long time. We skated till the wee hours, and I had so much fun. I haven't done nonstop skated for 4 hours in years. But when I got home, I had restless leg, like my legs were partying. Like they were jiggling. Mm-hmm. Just because I activated some quick twitches, and so I was twitchy.
Yeah.
And I took some just regular over-the-counter Tylenol PM, just two of them. I didn't take three, I promise. Maybe I did. But I I woke up in, what year is it? What day is it? Oh, my God, it's 1 p.m. Like, I slept 11 hours.
Yeah.
And sometimes people say, oh, you must have needed it. No, I think I drugged
myself.
Yeah, you were drugged.
And I'm disoriented. And you've also diagnosed that I'm low on magnesium, which I think I am.
It's always a suggestion. I'm not a doctor.
But you are. And these cars, that, he doesn't even know that truck is there.
Recent accident.
I thought the little truck dealt with it calmly. He almost got a dent from a large. Ooh, no, he's speeding up to give him some lip.
Wow. Guys, we have a T-bone accident directly in the road in front of us. We all had to drive around it.
Yeah.
That was serious.
It's so funny. I was so interested in this near accident that I missed the actual accident.
Yeah.
There was a T-boning? I didn't even look.
Chris was directly in front of us.
I thought...
You gotta get off Tylenol PM. I'm not kidding. This is insane.
Hey, listen, man. It's 2010. I can do whatever I want. Where are we again? God, I love Austin, Texas. I'm glad I moved here.
Listener, there was an accident in front of us where literally two cars were the shape of a T, and we had to drive all the way around it, and Chris was looking at a car that was mad that another car wouldn't let it in to the right of that.
There was a good 2 feet of clearance. It wasn't even a close call, but I was so infatuated with the story that we're actually following him still. I didn't see that T-bone.
Yeah.
Accident. Made popular by the steak.
It was in the center of your vision. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah.
Do you have a blind? Are you seeing spots? Are you seeing?
Yeah, you know, I'm still getting used to these lenses.
What you got? Are those your bifocals?
Try.
Oh, yeah.
Again.
That's right.
They're progressives. Trifocals are for our grandparents. These are the modern, new, kick-ass, where's the Sunny D, electric guitar-playing progressives. And they work great, but like I've said before, I don't always have my neck in the right position to be looking through the right. A quadrant would be a specific area of four. Is there a three version, the right...
A trident?
Yeah, I have to be looking through the right trident. And maybe that's why I missed the T-boning. So we're going to pick up our guest, who I believe...
I feel like if your glasses prevented you from seeing everything in the center of your vision, then we might need to call the optometrist.
I can only pick up on things in my periphery. What a terrible life.
What a life. Wait. There he is.
There he is.
There he is.
That's the house I had.
Summertime.
I had to use the restroom. There he is.
Woo!
Our guest today, you've seen, he does clubs and colleges across the globe. Billy Wayne Davis, everyone.
Billy Wayne Davis.
Hey, you guys.
Hey.
Hi.
That's smart. You just put you made the car a computer. And it can just record the...
Yeah. Karen designed this vehicle.
Yeah.
She did good.
And then...
Thanks.
And now she talks about freedom of speech a lot.
You do freedom of... You love freedom of speech. Is that why you moved to Austin?
I'm just... Yeah, exactly. I just want to be around my people. And on top of that, I just want people to be able to make the worst jokes about the worst people on what I like to call X. You can call it Twitter.
You guys, Austin is my stand-up comedy hometown, and I'm sorry if I take a little bit of offense.
Good.
I'm just kidding. I know what's going on there now.
Did you hear about all the dudes that have moved there?
Yeah, it's a popular spot.
I like hanging out with dudes, you guys.
I do, too.
But not those dudes.
Yeah.
How are you? I recognize the house from the time I had to emergency use the bathroom.
That was fun.
Yeah, last time.
Same bathrooms.
It was in the perfect place, I recall.
Oh, yeah. It is like, you know what about that? And my wife will never listen to this.
That hurts.
It's not you guys.
That hurts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it is not you two. It has nothing to do with you.
Okay.
So, yeah. The one you use, literally... Go through the side door, and it's like you just walk right there. It's right there,
right?
You know, like feng shui wise,
as I recall.
Yes, but she loves our bathroom so much that, well, like, even when she has to, like, oh my god, you know, because LA traffic will do that, where you're like, well, I might pee my pants.
Yeah,
like,
right.
So she'll like run in and then run past it to go to our bathroom. And every time I'm always like, I don't understand. No, nobody?
What do you think is the reason?
It's like she likes the guest bathroom more than your guys's.
No, ours is farther away. She will run to it.
Oh, yes.
She will always run.
Can I say why?
Yes, that's why I brought it up.
Okay.
You were checking your email or something. But.
Well, I was just looking to see where we could go to get Starbucks.
Yeah. There's a Starbucks like so close that it would,
our heads spin?
It would defeat the purpose of this podcast.
We can't go there that soon.
It is like we could have walked and it would have been ideal for the length of the podcast.
We do it up top and then we close strong. Like you want to do a stand-up. Maybe she wants to keep the bathroom a guest bathroom in case someone like me barges in.
No, that is not.
No, okay. She wants to be
in the back
of the house to do all her farting and anti-girl stuff that's not, like, probably in front of her husband, in front of a guest.
No, she does not. It is not about me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I will be taking a shower in that bathroom. And she will come do the stuff.
Yeah.
Which every human does.
Yeah.
I'm not outing her on that one.
Right. There's a popular children's book about
it. Yeah, it is. Yeah. We've taught two of them how to do it, actually.
It's infectious.
You helped them out.
Yeah, you have to. You have to.
Yeah, you do.
It's something they don't pick up that you got to teach them.
Yeah. I love the idea that there's a third kid and you didn't teach him. They're just smearing.
Well, he was the control, so.
All good experiments.
Let's see what he does.
Yeah, and you know what? Nothing. He does nothing.
He was the control.
Wait, the coolest, though.
You guys have three kids now?
No, he made up one for a poop joke.
Okay. Yeah.
And I did not flinch.
No,
I dove into that lane like, yeah, here we go.
You went right with it. I was like, have I not seen you in that long that you now have a shit ton of children?
Oh, that just gave me so much anxiety, just the made-up children I had. Just I went from having really fun with it, and then I was like, oh, no, that's...
Start saving. No.
I just added like a fake responsibility.
It's just more than the money. It's just like, so much not peace.
Volume, questions. What's the thing that robs your peace the most these days, Billy Wayne?
Learning new things that are supposed to help me.
Uh-huh.
Oh, because you're busy retelling things that children are supposed to learn?
No, like apps or like scheduling things or promotion-wise or just like those things change very rapidly now.
Yeah.
I told you how close it was.
It's shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our heads are indeed spinning.
I was like, you actually took the long way. It is always kind of a nightmare. And if we came at 5:30 to 6 in the morning, they know me here.
Is it a kind of like, we know your order, get it?
Yeah. And at first I was like offended by it because I was like, man, I'm not like,
oh, by your voice, of course.
But then it hit me. Yes, Chris got it first. I was like, I am one of the few people that are like, good morning, y'all.
Right.
And they're like, oh, this guy's here again.
I'm
kind of cheery in the morning.
Yeah, that's what it is. I was just going to say before you said it. It's no accent. It's your cheeriness.
No, it is the accent.
You're always a bundle of joy.
It is the accent.
Yeah, it probably is the accent.
It helps sometimes, and sometimes it's not great, where they're just like, yeah, that's the murderer. That's him.
There he is.
That was him.
What's your Starbucks order?
In the mornings?
Or what? Yeah, what do they know about you?
Here's also, they'll be able to tell it's for sure me. It's when I don't want to make coffee at home. You mm-hmm. know those days where you're mm-hmm. like, you saw how close it is. So it'll be like, I'm just kind of.
Me too.
Ugh.
I got two places of different coffee brewing styles. We got the cold pour over, which I still don't know what that is. I tried to. And then a more classic place. And I have a coffee maker, but I walk down there. I can't.
There's a fancy one down the street now that I love, but I don't go, but maybe once every 2 weeks. Because, hey, they know it's good, so they charge it like it is.
If if they heard your voice, would we find out what your order is?
It did. I don't know in the afternoon.
Oh, right.
In the morning, chances are that shift is familiar. It's a venti blonde and a grande pike.
Wow.
A blonde. Oh, so I get two drinks too sometimes.
It's the whole morning. Wow. Yep. And if I do it right into the afternoon, sometimes if I need it.
What's the pike?
And sometimes I don't drink at all.
Trick? What's a pike?
Pike Place. It's just a brew.
It's the middle.
Oh,
it's
the pie, of course. Of course.
Oh, you confused me. I was like, I don't know if I'm doing something special on accident. And they love it too. My friend noticed that too. He was like, they love you here. And I was like, well, I just say, give me two of the hots and hand them in the cups.
That's great.
And everyone else is just like, I need this and this and this.
Right.
I don't even need sugar or anything. I just need two of the hots. Let's go.
Two hots on its way out.
Yeah.
Was the guy behind us in line, the fact that he was waiting in the active roadway, worrying you two like
Absolutely.
It was me? Yeah.
And the guy in front of us wasn't moving up just for texting reasons.
Okay, there was a lot. I'm sorry that it took some attention away.
No, it is fine because I'm in the back instead of having to worry about these problems.
Right.
Because it is a common... This was a Burger King when we moved here.
Oh, that's exciting.
And it was not popular, even with the kids, because there's like a middle school there.
No.
I was just like, it's just one of those spots. It doesn't... And then they put a Starbucks in. I was like, nope, no, it's not the spot.
People
do not care about Burger King.
They don't. I feel like Burger King really decidedly lost the burger wars.
Yes.
Yeah, they did.
They
lost all the wars. Chicken, french fries.
Everything they've tried to do has
they
not worked.
They really
out.
Did.
Milkshakes.
Kinda, they went the Pepsi route. They're like, we're okay
it's
with
fine.
This. I second
banana. No, they went the Kmart route, I think, which is like, hey, we're dying. And there's a couple of us here and there.
We're literally going to put up a blue siren light and give things away in a pan. Sure, you want a cold, frosty drink? We don't know what we're doing.
Help us.
We have Carhartts where the label is misspelled.
We did a weird mascot, and that helped us for, like, way longer than it should have.
Oh, the scary Duracell-looking kid?
Yeah, remember him?
Yeah,
he was creepy.
He was, like, breaking into people's houses, and they would do, like, fake video of people getting woken up by the king.
Right. They actually made him, like, a Michael Myers lovable character. Like, he's going to be at the foot of your bed.
Meanwhile, it's like, how about you just have a bun that isn't stale?
That's really all anyone wants. That's
huge. That's where they also went the Kmart route, like, quality, maybe. No offense to our friends at Kmart.
Well, I don't think...
They're all dead.
I think they're all dead.
They are dead. What happened to Route 66 and their carpenter pants? Okay.
Whoa.
Everyone knows.
Your Montana came out.
I was a frequent... You guys don't pull a Rain Man on me and tell me Kmart sucks. Because
I went there. There was where you get ices before Walmart kind of existed. Mm-hmm. And stuff.
Yeah.
You're not better than us.
Right. Right.
Because you went to Kmart.
I know.
We did too.
It was at a time where all I wanted was giant t-shirts and big pants. And
man, my son is...
Is he in that phase?
Yes, it is. It's like a snake where it's like, I don't hate it, but it's unsettling because you're just like, why are they so big?
What are you doing under there?
It's like, and I think to me too is like, I was never into the big clothes. Except for maybe big pants, but not for leaving the house.
Right.
I love big pants, except for, you know, outside the house. Comfortable pants.
Well, it was kind of the style all around, and I didn't realize that until I acquired a pair of my dad's, like, nice pants with little embroidered pheasants. They're like polo pants.
Yeah.
And I've liked them for 20 years. I finally got them. They are... pilot episode of Friends, huge. Like, pants just used to be...
Yeah, they did.
Huge.
Cuts. Blousy.
The cuts. Yep. Yes.
A lot of pleats.
It was the thing I didn't even notice, because in the skateboarding world, they were downright clownish. They would cover your shoes. They were straight-legged and
that's
giant.
That's what it is. He's in the He's in the skating.
And yes.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's awesome. I love it.
It is. Awesome. Yeah, I am happy to hear that also. Yeah,
no, I love it. I completely support it. It's great.
Good. Thanks, buddy. I mean, I take that personally, and I said, thanks, buddy.
Thanks.
Because it's been part of my life always. But... I do not like that the clown pants thing is coming back, because if you go to a skate shop right now, it is giant.
It's corduroy. I honestly thought he didn't have like pants with him the first time I saw him in this new, because at first they were big, you know, there was like a step up where like, all right, you got some Dickies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're a little bigger.
Yeah.
And you get it too, because they kind of help when you fall. Like, I totally get what's happening. And then, yeah, I think there's something, there's a, you know, things were upped in the style thing. And they're so big that I was like, do you need pants? And he was like, no, this is the style. And I was like, okay, I don't. I am a dad now.
Are they like Junko jeans big?
Some of them.
Or going there?
They're not made to be Junko jeans.
Everybody get
but
your
they
order
do right. Look like that, yes.
Yes.
They do.
Yeah. Yes. And they literally,
they're just so big on him. They're regular pants, but they're just so big.
And even the skate companies now are doing little embroidered characters and stuff on the back pocket, like, which is totally Janko-y.
Yeah, that is.
I don't.
It's all cyclical.
It is, because just 10 years ago, I was like, why is everyone wearing tight pants?
I didn't like that.
Yeah, it's like that whole like figure skating, the tight pants.
That's still, it's certain cultures that's still cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's interesting how certain pants are like, we're going to do this in this culture. And you're like,
yeah.
All right.
Oh, that's the thing. It's all the same brands that have gone from skinny to big in the last decade. I have all over the map. I have different size pants for different occasions.
I don't understand the skinny jeans. I never did those. I never understood the, I tried them on. It's not, they weren't comfortable.
Right.
So there, struck like three. There's three strikes right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And then they don't look great.
No.
Unless you're like a bird person. And then you look awesome in it.
What's your...
Oh, just a tall pike.
Hot?
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
Please, yes.
Annalise?
Can I have a regular lemonade?
Sure.
Okay. I'll get a grande pike.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hot?
I think I'll get iced. Thank you. Okay. I almost made a bad decision.
Yeah, do that again.
I'm a regular with Karen. She knows.
Hi, can I get a grande iced pike place or whatever your coffee is right now? Oh, you want one too? Can I get two of those, sorry? And a grande lemonade? And a grande iced mocha, please. Oh, it's a grande iced mocha. Okay.
I think I know what was going on there, is because it sounded like a call center in the background. Although it was faint to us, there was
it's
all these people
really
talking.
Loud.
Yeah, he couldn't understand.
Well, like, he's also, and I know this because, and I was a little embarrassed because I'm like, this is my store. I'm sorry.
We're talking to Gregory right now.
Well, and I was like, I don't know who this dude is, but I do know, and I was trying to figure. I was like, he's trying, and then what it is like. The person doing the headset with you is also handing the drinks and taking money and stuff from the people at the window.
Oh, yeah. So that's the person that has to be on their A game that day.
They have to be able to multitask.
And you know, usually I'm here in the mornings, and I think that whoever, you know, probably schedules this is like, oh, we put the best of the best in the morning. And then they're always, I guess I'm also friendly because I'm always like, oh, thank you. You're doing great. You know, that kind of stuff.
Right, right.
And one dude finally said something one day and he's like, you're always so pleasant. Thank you. Most people are not.
Yeah.
Really? And it never occurred to me. It's just the deep Southern mother that was just put it in there.
Sure.
That it just comes out. And it's like, and I've also worked a bunch of service jobs. So I'm also like, hey, it sucks what you're doing.
We're with you.
I've been there. It sucks.
Yeah. So
here's just a little positive.
Also, Los Angeles has a culture of people who are entitled, who don't have manners, who don't... When I moved down here from Northern California, not crazy far away, I was just like, what the fuck is this? Like, people don't say hi when they walk by you on the street.
I'm afraid so.
There's just basic, like, people don't say please, they don't say thank you. It's gross. And I think there's, like, a little bit of monkey see, monkey do entitlement bullshit where it's like, oh, this is how powerful people act, or yeah, this is how you're supposed to act, instead of just being like a good human being.
Yeah.
It is weird.
Yeah.
It kind of hit me hard this last New York visit because I was like, God, everyone here is so friendly. I thought this was supposed to be, hey, fuck you, bada boom. I thought that and everyone was so nice, asking questions, not just immediately talking about themselves. And I think that I just realized maybe people act weird here.
No, I've had that in conversations recently where maybe it's with the perception of the comedy scene and stuff.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, it's like this and this. And I was like, no, I find L.A. rather cold as like a culture with other human beings.
Yes.
And I found New York more in their feelings and open.
Yep.
And kind of like I enjoy that more. And
yes.
I think I'm like in between. That's why I used to love San Francisco, because I was like, oh, this feels like the leave me alone a little bit that I need of the West Coast, because I'm a hillbilly, but also like, hey, I can confront you if we have a problem.
Right.
Yes.
Which is, I don't know, the way to be.
Yeah.
If that's how society usually works, kind of. Like you're in it with other people, whereas this town, well, it's just all made up. But there's a lot of that, like, you know, like, I'm going to pretend like I'm the CEO of Paramount or some shit. And that's how, and so you are my servant. And like, there's people who learn how to act like that from like the people around them, because no one taught them manners at all, maybe, moving out here. So there's just that kind of like, I don't know. And there's a lot of that cooler than thou, which always is bad manners, you know.
It's bad. And it's not cool.
It is not cool.
No.
It's not. Like, I run on the river thing sometimes.
It is just a thing. It is actually a river, but it's a thing now, a cement thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like a trail or like whatever.
I don't know what to call it either.
But even then, when you're like, I'm clearly a runner. You know, I have the silly glasses and the stuff, you know, you know what I mean?
You got the glasses?
Do you wear the paper number every time?
Man, they have a hard time getting me to do that during the races. So I'm just like, I'm not going to win. Don't make me wear this. They're like, we need to know who you are if you fall down. I was like, okay, fair enough.
Okay.
That's fair. Okay. I might fall down. That's fair. But like, even when you're running, like, it's like clear, you know, it's like, hey, I'm wearing neon. It's like, I'm not. Can you just give them like a head nod, or like, we're two people exercising on the same, and they'll ignore you there, and you're just like, I don't understand. Like, I'm not trying to fuck you. Like, right. I'm not even trying to, like, it's like, I'm just another human being, and we shared a space for a moment.
Yep.
Isn't that cool? Like, no.
No, it is not. One time I was walking toward a guy on the Warner Brothers lot who looked so much like Ice Cube. I mean, sorry, so much like Vanilla Ice.
Totally. Very different. That is offensive.
That is such a huge difference.
To ice, not racist, but offensive.
Yeah.
So he's walking toward me, and I thought, oh my God, it would be so funny if this was Vanilla Ice. And I'm like, it's not. But I have this little smile on my face because it's like, it's a dude who thinks that's a cool way to look, which he
or
could be right.
Doesn't know he looks like that.
He doesn't realize.
Either way, that's awesome.
And he, like, was kind of looking elsewhere, maybe looking down, I can't remember. And when he looked up at me, he kind of did this like, ew, like, don't look at me. And I was like, motherfucker, I will fucking end you. Like, you fool. First of all, nice gel. Like, how dare you? I'm not trying to, like, flirt with you, you goofball. And to me, that is Los Angeles in a nutshell, where, like, some fucking Vanilla Ice looking motherfucker is going to, like, turn his nose up at you.
Yes.
Like, no.
Whereas the real Vanilla Ice, which I experienced when I saw him in Vegas with a group of reality show people, one of them was gross ass Ron Jeremy. I don't know what TV show it was, but they were on some sort
of Surreal Life or something?
And I
bet it was good. I bet it was a good show.
I bet it was great.
It was a good program. Show.
Emmy but, City. Uh-huh. I saw him though.
And David Simon did this?
Wow. It's his early Dick Wolf work. But I just out of my mouth was like, wow, you're Vanilla Ice. Because we were walking in a narrow hallway and he was just standing there. They were waiting for people.
It comes out sometimes when they're like really famous. Like
it does. And he just said, oh, thanks for noticing. What's your name? And he like shook my hand. And I was like, oh, Vanilla Ice. I can't. I only will say nice things about the ice.
I've only heard wonderful. Every now and then he'll like steal construction equipment.
Wait, what?
That's what, remember he had like a house flipping thing?
Oh, right.
Oh.
And then, but that's just because he was raised in Florida. And he did, that's just a Florida thing.
He got caught.
It wasn't that he did it, he got caught doing it.
He's not good at it. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, we used to do that to build skateboard ramps.
I'm saying, but he was like, he had a TV show too while he was doing it. And I was like, there's just, that's so many Florida levels there.
Did that make it on the show? I would love it.
I think they probably had to explain it on some level.
Oh my God, that's
probably like a card that's like, you know. With the voiceover, like, please. Hey, we heard what happened too. You know?
He probably stole a lot of copper pipes. You know what that means?
It was
drug problem.
Well, I think he was like just being like, we can just make this for cheaper if we don't pay for materials.
Yeah.
And you're like, you sure can.
This is the way I learned how to do it.
I think that's slavery too.
Oh, sorry. What you guys are
talking about. That's so insane. It's like the day someone gave me a flask and I was already in my 30s and I'm like, I love this flask ever since I got it. I'm saving so much money because I had like booze in my pocket. It's like discovering one day it's cheaper to not pay taxes. I just like, oh, it's the wrong thing to do. Yeah, okay, I get it. Vanilla should know.
Oh, they charge us a lot here because we shouldn't drink a bunch of them.
Yeah, I'm getting punished just for drinking more.
Yes.
Since you are running so much, are you all around? Like, you stopped smoking a long time ago.
Okay. Oh, I was just telling this story recently because I think it was a friend of mine was trying to, but you always come up when I tell this story, especially it's usually comics who are curious
about, you know,
hey, so you don't do this, you know what I mean? And you're like, yeah, you can still be funny without that. It's okay.
Right, right.
Because we're all damaged.
Yeah.
Little babies. And, we're all little damaged little babies.
We're just babies,
little
babies, man.
Just little babies.
Fucked up babies.
It's little funny little fucked up babies. But I explained to them, like, the weirdest part of quitting smoking to me, because that book worked. Alan Carr book totally works.
Yeah.
Because you smoked a lot.
I loved tobacco.
Yeah.
It's great.
And then, it really is. And then I convinced myself that I was like, I just love tobacco. And then I started smoking those American Spirits that it's just like.
Yeah, like a tobacco aficionado.
And I was like, oh, no, I really fucking love those. Yeah. There's 3,000 chemicals, too. I love the Diet Coke part.
Right, right.
And I was like, I need to quit. And so I did the book. And then what I realized after I quit, and I'd already quit drinking at this point, too, is, oh, no. Like, I learned how to do stand-up without drinking. You know, I drank at the time, but I learned how to do it sober.
Well, I'm 5.5 months in to not drinking, and I find that I'm very nervous when I'm on stage. Was that one of your things that you had to shake?
Well, no, because okay. I still like cannabis. I've never had the public speaking fear.
Okay.
It's never, to me, it was always clear, well, these people are here.
Right.
And they're looking at you. They're ready to listen. Like, this is ideal.
Yeah.
I don't even, like, I don't like to get their attention a lot.
Right,
that's my
right.
problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, I have thoughts. And I want to tell some of these people what they are because it will help them.
Yeah.
So that wasn't a problem, but there was, like, you know, little, like, rituals that you don't realize that we're doing over years.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me, I gave myself, like, 5 or 6 days after I quit of not going on stage. Just because I knew, that's too important to me.
Right.
And I will be weak and be like, nah, I'm just going to do my ritual.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, yep.
Stepping out right before you go on stage.
Right before I do, I'll smoke a cigarette, and then I'll go on stage, and then I'll do my set, and then I'll walk off stage, and I'll smoke another cigarette, and it's fucking awesome.
It is right. What is it about that? It's like bookending in this way that you're kind of punching yourself in the lungs as a way to say, we started, and now we're done.
Well, it also helps you come down from the adrenaline.
Right.
Yep.
So...
Before the set, though, it's a stimulant. I used to run around the block and smoke a couple cigarettes before I went on stage.
Yeah.
Like, that's a long time.
No, it's so much of it's mental.
Yeah.
So part of the story is that, so I realized what it was because of the Alan Carr book and stuff. And then it was that weird kind of open mic book show downtown. Do you remember that show? It was like at a weird bar.
Yeah, a narrow bar.
Yes.
That's where one of the times I remember hanging out with you for the first time since meeting you in Seattle.
Yes.
Which I do want to talk about.
So then I came and I was so thankful because, I kind of had realized, I've never done stand-up in my whole life without smoking before and after. Because I smoked before I started, like way before. And I was like, oh. So I went on. That wasn't, I could pace before. So that wasn't a huge problem.
And that wasn't the case with you with alcohol, right?
Yeah, no, alcohol I had, because I learned to do it sober.
Right.
And I would drink after it. Sometimes I would start with whatever, I would grab a beer as I went on stage.
Yeah, one or two. Yeah.
Not even. Like, that would start drinking as I went. Like,
oh,
that
gotcha.
That was, like, a good trick.
Yeah, that sounds borderline healthy to me.
Well, and then afterwards, though, we were drinking till we couldn't find any more, so.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah.
There were other problems. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
Leads to things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like running a mile and then smoking two cigarettes.
Yeah.
Hey, you could have done nothing.
Right. Nothing good happens after midnight. That's what I've...
So I walk off the stage, I do fine, it's that room where I'm like, that went the way it should have.
Yep.
And then you were sitting there and you went to say something to me and I was like so thankful it was you because I went, hey, I quit smoking 7 days ago. It was the first time I've ever done stand up without, I was like, give me 2 minutes in this thing, my head will, and you're like, cool. And you just kind of sat there next to me, which was the nicest thing. You didn't, like, go away or anything.
I knew what you were saying. Yeah.
And then, no, that was really cool. And then my head felt like it was just in a pool of water, just swimming for 2 minutes. And then it went away. And then you and I just started talking about, like, yeah, I think one of the first times we met was you jumped in a dumpster.
Right.
So there was like, we were near a dumpster, and I was like, hey, remember the first time we met? You were in one of those.
Like, I think punching boards that had staples in them, and my knuckles were bleeding.
Yeah.
But it was while laughing. I was having fun.
It was awesome.
Bridgetown?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I must have done it a lot because I'm getting a lot of Portland Bridgetown. Apparently, I backflipped into a dumpster. I don't know.
Well, that whole party was sloppy for everyone. It wasn't just like, oh, Chris was out of hand. It was like, no, we remember what you did and then what we did. And then I've heard stories like, you remember that? And it's like, I can't deny it, though.
Yeah, all of them are stories I tell with a smile on my face, though. It was a fun time.
Pure joy, those.
But
think I came up on you at maybe that same year when you were in the refrigerator box. I was coming from a show, and you were in a refrigerator box on the sidewalk.
Oh, you were there? I mean, that's become a sought after video because my manager was filming.
Oh, what a!
Are
they still your manager?
Yes, yes, Jessica.
So that's
good.
She really believes in him.
Yeah.
No, she was laughing harder than anyone. While the footage is actually jiggling because. We're being yelled at the hotel, and I basically am saying, well, how do you think I feel? I'm stuck in a box, as if I hadn't put myself there. And that guy was being a jerk, and I know who his boss is. I could have, my friend is part owner of that hotel. But what? I don't do those things. Anyway, I remember that interaction we had, and I think that's why we had a moment of
I have a question about the head swimming because, God, that
Yeah.
That took that truck so long to turn right that I almost hit it on purpose.
That's why I was in.
You can't do that, though.
I know.
Yeah. You can't, but I do. I want to do that. My uncle, my uncle, who I love, he used to live in Houston. Now he moved back to Tennessee. He's a little older. He's funnier, meaner. But he used to say, when he lived in Houston, I would go visit him, and he's like, you know how rich I want to be? Like, he would start that. I was like, you thought about this, so go
on. Yeah, yeah.
He's like, I just want to be rich enough when someone, like, pisses me off in traffic, I can just ram their car and ruin their day, and then just throw whatever money it is they need. It just ruins their day. It doesn't ruin their life or anything. It just ruins their day. And I was like, that is... a good amount. Okay.
It is a good goal. It's important to have little goals in life.
I've never done the math on it, but I bet it's not as much unless you just kind of go looking for it. And well, I think he might. You know?
Well, yeah, it sounds like the level of anger would probably be setting that.
It might go away after the first time and you're like, damn, now I got all this money.
Yeah.
But I was going to ask, the head swimming, do you believe it was like the surge, the post-set surge that your brain was then going, now we smoke, right now, do it now.
Yes, yes. And it wasn't given, and it had been, you know, at that point, over a decade for sure. Well, not well over, but like for sure, probably 12, 13 years at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And... so, yeah, of just, like, that's in who knows how many sets, because that's all I've done my adult life is stand-up.
Right. I think that my uneasiness was, just the habit of, wait, even if it was down to, usually I have my hand occupied right now. Now I'm just rubbing them together because I'm about to do stand-up. Like, it was...
like a little praying mantis with good ideas.
Yeah.
Here's an observation, ladies and gentlemen. You have to keep the mic in the mic stand because now you're a hand rubber.
And I have to rock back and forth almost robotically. I'm going to start acting like a praying mantis.
You just sit on the stool and you're like, let me tell you something.
Lecturing mantis?
I'm just going to talk to you guys about life like you don't live it.
Let's get real. You wouldn't know. How would you know unless I tell you, the comedian?
Tell you how bad life is.
Do you?
I used to try to, you know, where you try to write like that, and then you're like, no, I can't. I don't know too much.
Yeah, I'm not going to do stand-up sitting in a stool.
I can tell you what not to do.
Yeah.
That's most of my act. Like, hey, don't ever tell the universe, like, what's the worst that can happen? Because the universe is like, are you fucking serious?
Let's do this thing.
Yeah. Oh, finally.
Watch this.
Look at this little idiot set.
Did you do stand-up before you lived in Seattle? And you did live in Seattle for a little bit, right?
Yeah.
That was kind of the beginning of your
our
career.
Our relationship.
And our relationship, more importantly than your career.
That was the beginning of our relationship, for sure.
I, around that time, driving around, not Kirkland, but those small town areas around.
Suburban Seattle area?
Yeah. And I've talked about it on the podcast before, but it's an odd thing there, and maybe in Portland, they have those coffee drive-through bikini places. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Okay. And I don't even want to talk about this on the podcast, but we're going to.
Your wife won't listen. You already said that.
Yeah.
No. She would know. This idea, she would just get mad that I told. I used to love, like, A, the coffee was like, nah, it was like, you know, what you would expect from a bikini barista in a hut in the middle of a parking lot.
Amazing and delicious.
It's, you know, well prepared. But it hit me recently because, like, they go nuts when there's, like, a new, like, Starbucks in a small town. They'll go nuts in the South and, like, a Starbucks opens in Kroger or something.
Right.
And... it hit me. I was like, oh my God, if you could just, you start a chain of those in the South. Now you would have to go from like small town to small town. You would have to bribe a lot of politicians to make it happen.
Right.
But you would stay, it would like, it's like you're printing money because you're You're selling something addictive with boobies in the South.
Yeah, something.
It's just construction workers like, yeah, I guess I like mocha stuff now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It is some sort of, it screams legal loophole that only exists in that area, Pacific Northwest.
Yes.
Because I was like, how, it just seems dangerous for the girls. That was my first, they're scantily clad, what am I, 70? And they have no protection.
That is a good way to describe it, though. They're not naked, and they're not in bikinis, but they are, they're not in clothes.
When they wake up, they're like, I gotta get clad. I'm gonna go scanty.
I'm gonna go scanty.
Yes. Which drawer? Oh, this one.
I got my scanties in. Don't say it. Panties. I'm sorry. Just the other day, though, someone, it was a national news story, some scary man went to one of those and had a giant zip tie and went to, he said, can I get $5 change? And when she reached to hand him the money, he tried to get the giant zip tie around her head to pull her out. He tried to abduct her.
Well, you know.
And it, I was like, that's exactly what I was.
But that's any place that a lady is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris,
I think. Bikini or not.
I think he was. I think that that is. Also, if we're being honest, it's also a danger for your face and head. That's the thing about, like, dark people. Are you, dark alleys are scary. And, like, for everyone, it's a vulnerable position that you should run through.
I think this guy was obsessed with this girl because she's not even wearing a t-shirt, and that added to his obsession. I really think it's a dangerous business model. Because he was like, I don't know.
Strip club, also dangerous business.
Like, exactly. Yeah. I guess those exist and aren't going anywhere. But something about driving up and being able to drive away in a tiny, not only uninsulated, they always seem hot in there, but you could pick it up and put it on a tow truck and steal the whole staff.
I think also, though, what you're, they, some of the ladies are very capable and they are not. Yeah, I would say maybe some are forced to do it. I'm not assuming that there's not a percentage.
Oh, they get huge tips.
There's also what they're dealing with is scalding hot.
Yeah. Right?
So if you get too touchy or grabby, it's like, oh, look, first-degree burns.
Yeah.
Like, you have first-degree burns. So there is like a built-in weapon that you're selling.
It's kind of like you're pulling up to a bear spray kiosk.
They've
got weapons all around that they are allowed to have.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a good idea. I want there to be bear spray kiosks.
And someone's like, would you like a sample today, you fucking pig? And then they just spray it right
there. If there's bear spray kiosks, wait, I just thought
of
this.
And if you're getting a small-town girl in a bikini to sell coffee, she's used to dealing with dingbats.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, she's a little scary there, too.
Yeah, she's a professional dingbat dealer.
Yeah, where, you know, you've been on the road in the small towns where sometimes the hot girl will be like, I choose you, and you're like, what do you mean?
Yeah. What have I done?
I don't know. I don't like that. I don't like the way you said that.
But, yeah, you're right. It is. Judging by the time when I was a kid, I was chasing my cat, and he went behind the dishwasher where our coffee maker was affixed to the bottom of the cupboard above it, and I pulled the dishwater out, grabbed the cat, pulled up my head, and hit the coffee maker. The carafe shattered and hot coffee soaked into my sweater.
Horny? Did it make you super horny with that?
Yeah, it triggered my boner button.
You're like, this is going the way I wanted it to.
So you're saying that cat was asking for it? That's bullshit.
The cat didn't get burnt. That I remember. But yeah, my skin, I had second degree burns.
On your neck?
And I kept telling kids, I remember, I burnt my back on coffee this morning, and then they all slapped my back.
Yeah, you did.
Kids are mean.
they're crazy.
They
don't know anything, and they're just running about.
They go with the first feeling, and they're just like, if you say, my back hurts, they go, this one?
Yep.
And slam.
That was my whole day.
It's also like dingbat moms and dads that are like, I listen to what my kids say. You're supposed to listen to their feelings and listen to things, but you're not supposed to let them choose things.
No.
They're children. They don't know stuff.
Mm-mm. Right.
It's just you need to guide them. It's like Adam Sandler did a great movie about it called Big Daddy. He learned all those lessons that a lot of people in this town did not learn.
No, they did not. Because also what I think is really interesting is the more choice you give children, the worse they get very insecure.
Yeah, they're like, what? No.
Why aren't you in charge? Yeah. Like, why in God's name would I be in charge? Then they get mad. And then you're dealing with that.
Adults get mad when they realize they're in charge.
Yeah.
So why would a child not be like, wait, what?
What?
Like,
fuck you.
No. God, no. Do you know what I want to do right now? And I know it's bad.
Please don't enable me to do it.
You need to be around here so it doesn't happen. Sometimes, yeah, my son will be like, where are you going? I'm like, out to take the garbage. He's like, okay, I just need someone around to keep me safe.
Oh,
that's what he says?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the best.
Yeah, no, he's very articulate in a way that's like super adorable that might get annoying one day.
What comes to mind? What makes you happy that your son has gotten into skateboarding? Because I think it's
I have a 4-year-old, and then I have
right. I did
14-year-old too.
I figured you were talking about two different kids.
Yeah, but they're both into it, so they both started taking lessons at the same time.
Oh, cool! That's a good idea.
And it's to do lessons. It was the first time the 14-year-old's kind of been interested in sports.
Sure.
You know, he's done some sports, but it's the first one he's like, I want to do this. I was like, okay, cool. And I know nothing about skateboarding and will never know how to do it.
Right.
I've always felt completely uncomfortable. And even his teacher's like, I can show you. And I was like, you can't. You just can't.
I'll resist you.
I was like, I don't want to really ever be.
Yeah. You're right in that way. It's like, because I've seen, it's a phenomenon that's been happening where there's like, it's kind of like the baseball dad when I was in Little League, dads yelling at their kids because they vicariously, they're reliving their skate days. But I've seen skate dads, they clearly have never done it, literally yelling at their kid like, come on, just do it, try to do, they're like saying the lingo, but they never, I can tell.
Oh, I will not, I just like, my only thing is like, hey, when you go to the skate park, you have to wear pads at the skate park. I know when you're riding on the neighborhood around here with your friends, you're not going to. I understand that.
Sure.
I was like, but when you're doing stuff where you're going to for sure fall, he's like, okay.
Oh.
Right. So, like ramps, it is, I think it's a good idea. I never did, but it is a good idea. And Jason Sklar's kid, he has him do the same thing. He's getting pretty good.
Well, and
it's all pads.
I don't think my son is ever going to be like a pro skater. Aww. So his brain is more important. So
of course.
That's where I'm at, like on that one where it's like, yeah, so.
You're right.
He may skate his whole life and design boards. He's an artist and loves all that and may do tricks. But that brain is so, like my dad was a football coach, so.
Yeah, none of us, when I was a kid, none of us were, we maybe should have, but none of us were thinking it would lead to anything other than just fun. You know, like we should have been making videos and sending them when we were at our best ability. But even then, I don't think we quite.
Well, whose parents are Bam Majera's parents?
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's like, yeah, man, jump off that building. Let me get my camera.
Yeah.
Okay, Dad. You know, like most parents are like, hey, just don't break anything.
Right.
Why? Because we have $11.
Right. That's definitely, that was my parents, yeah. Do dangerous things, but please do them cautiously.
Just so careful.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, you climb the tree, but like make sure it's like a pine tree so when you fall, you hit a bunch of branches.
That's very specific.
Break that fall. Learn to break your fall.
Break your own fall so you don't break anything. It's just like you don't fall hard enough. You're just bruised.
I really like this neighborhood, but Billy, did you see that house when we pulled up that first street? And there's literally a house that looks like it started to get built and now it's just sitting there?
No, this is a, there's an, it's transitions by the right. I don't even know if gentrification is there. There is some of that going on for sure. But then there is what I think is happening because we're in like a foothill kind of.
Yeah.
So I live in the, we call it the middle. And
of a hill, basically.
Well, yeah, specific. The flat part of like, yeah. Then, you know, and then the Mount Washington kind of starts behind us. And, but like, I think what happens there is, so there's like, you know how in LA you'll see some old house, and if you looked it up on Zillow, you're like, whoa, there's like 15 bedrooms in there. And you're like,
right, yeah.
You know, but they're like, oh, it was bought in 1970 and no one has ever moved away.
Yep.
Because they worked on the Golden Girls.
Right.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? Or they just get a check and it's just like some old weird dude.
Yeah.
So there's a lot, there's like a mix of those properties because it's the start of the hill over there. And then, you know, multi-generational homes and then gentrification.
Huh.
And I don't care for all the new white people. I've been here like a we've been here like a decade. And what's odd is like, we found a house that we think that someone tried to flip and they were just so early on this neighborhood ever being whatever.
So it already had a lot of work done.
Oh, it was amazing. And then they slashed the price even while we were looking at it. And we're like, well, that's a move.
Yeah.
This is a thing that happened 10 years ago.
Yes.
Just not now. Yeah.
And then we brought the property values up for whatever reason.
Because you guys have good manners.
I guess that's what that's what I could, and
they
it makes me laugh so hard because I'm like, I'm a hill folk from East Tennessee.
Yeah. Wow.
And they're like, nah, that's a white dude. I guess that's worth more than
that. Yeah, that's interesting and would also
and it's not even my money. You
make
know what
me
I mean?
Feel gross.
Not even my money.
Wow.
This awesome lady I married.
Wow, that's amazing.
But it's just so funny. We're just like, okay, well, so none of it means anything. And they're like, shh, hillbilly, shut up. People are making money. I'm like, no, I'm not against it.
But it is a good, like, it feels like a nice community. Whatever's,
it's wonderful.
Whatever's going on.
I loved it before whatever because it's just a working class Mexican neighborhood. Like, everyone's cool and respectful and does their thing.
That's what I love about Echo Park, yeah, since I've moved there. After being 15 years with retired boat whiteys.
Stay away from the boat whiteys.
Yeah, no, stay away from boats.
They're drunk.
Those
are drunks.
And there's glow-in-the-dark aliens swimming underwater. Stay out of boats.
Oh, the bioluminescence.
That's better. Better word.
Bioluminescence.
Have you ever experienced that?
That's the one I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Well, people buy property and they, you know how people like, I got a deal. And
weird.
Then,
that's
then
been
there. Then they don't have a deal anymore.
Forever.
Right. Exactly. Well, something fell through.
And that's a rich, someone got killed. That guy went to prison or was.
I mean, you're going dark, but I was just thinking more like, hey, we were going to do something and then CISO didn't happen.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. CISO.
Somebody that had a very high up job at Quibi.
Yeah.
Then they're like, here, I'm going to build my dream.
Quibi.
That's so creepy.
And now there's a flock of crows over it all the time.
We're looking at a cement foundation and the building, the framework of a modern home, and it's just old wood. That wood probably isn't 20 years old, but it looks like it is because it was never treated in any way. It's scary.
Well, if you look, it was like, that is one day you were at work and then the next day there is no more work.
Yes.
Because there's not even like a tear down or like.
Right.
That is like, you show up and there's a dude sitting in his pickup and he's like, oh man, yeah.
So that must mean the person that owns that property still owns it. They just are at a standstill. And so,
they can't even afford to have the bad wood taken down.
Yeah.
Ah, poor Quibi.
Or it's in some weird foreclosure kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, no man's land.
Quibi
got what? Hey, look, it's TV shows, but not at all.
But just a little.
But just enough to piss you off.
Yeah, it's TV shows, but in your pants pocket. Yeah, it didn't take off, did it? I thought of a hitman or a drug dealer that had to go to prison or whatever because that looks exactly like the unfinished homes in Costa Rica, right at the San Jose airport in Costa Rica. There's all these
the framework and the cement part foundation of a home like that, there's a bunch of them. And then there's just spray paint and they haven't been touched.
Is that drug dealing and murders or is that crypto?
This was before that, that I was there, before the crypto thing.
I think a lot of crypto dudes had a lot of big plans they were making. And then, you know, it's weird that right after we seized all those Russian funds in the war and stuff, that all the Bitcoin money went away. And that timing was weird to me.
I always thought it was weird where no one could ever explain what the fuck. It actually, I had a finance guy that was like, I really want to talk to you about Bitcoin.
Me too.
And you're like, I bet you do, you motherfucker.
I invite you to talk to me about Bitcoin in a way that moves me off of my firm stance of it's got to be, you have to be able to put it in my hands
right.
for me
At
to
this point, I'm
it.
Cynical. Can you move me?
Yeah.
Try it.
And they, no one, even an expert can't explain it in layman's terms. I had the same meeting about NFTs. Someone.
Yeah. When they were like, Chris, you've got to get them for your stand-up act.
Exactly. Your artwork is perfect for it.
Oh, and I bet you were hit up about it.
And I'm like, you know, you've talked about a half hour and I'm further from knowing what it is.
Yes.
My favorite one was when they were selling real estate in the metaverse thing.
Oh, were they really?
Oh, yeah. Mofos were spending a lot of money in that. And my friend...
Like Sims, basically?
That's what I call my buddy who's like, does codes and all. You know, he's like, you know, he's my real good friend. And I was like, hey, come walk me through this. And I may be wrong because I don't understand. I fully understand some of the internet sometimes. I was like, but the way I understand real estate is it's worth money. Because there's only, like, one of it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In the whole world. So when you got it, that's... And if someone else wants it because it's what they want...
I knew she was doing this.
She got it. She needed that parking spot.
It's in her neighborhood. You need to cool it.
Yeah. Sorry.
And she had super cool highlights in her hair.
No, she runs this. Don't. Just be nice, highlights. You guys. Don't.
Be cool. No judgment.
I can't believe I made eye contact.
I was like, but the metaverse is something they can, you know, it's infinite that they make up. So right. How can real estate be worth anything? He goes, yeah, it's not, dude. some celebrities are just, I was like, is it money laundering? He's like, I don't think it's even that. He's like, I think they're just getting ripped off. They're just paying for things that someone...
It's the idea, I think, that people don't want to miss out on the next big Apple stock, Steve Jobs, blah, blah, blah. Everyone has that idea. And then it's like, but what are you going to do? So you're going to fall for everything now because you're afraid that you won't be in on the ground floor of the thing that makes you millions.
I fear my character flaw is that I'm the opposite and I'm not open to learning anything new or that I already know you should know about. I just turned it away.
Yes. But
the crypto thing worked out for me okay, I guess. Because I was like, telling me to buy it just a year ago.
Yeah.
I reckon I used that like a slot machine because that's the only thing that made sense to me.
Right.
Was I was like, oh, you know, I'll put $50 and it'll go up to like $200 sometimes. And I'm like, hey, look, I made that much money. And I'll take it out.
Yep.
All the same people.
I'll put $50 back in and then it'll go up and I'll take it out. And then some people are like, I bet $10,000 and I lost $15,000. What were you doing?
Yeah. I don't know. And everyone that I know that was talking about it, that had doubled their money, is no longer talking about it.
No.
Because they lost their five. Or
they lost
grand.
It all.
No, yeah. I was never. But it was just know. Like, I viewed it like the Las Vegas airport.
Yeah.
You're a little drunk and you're like, I don't give a shit about this game, but I think I understand this game.
And then when I get that much, I'll fucking leave.
Yeah.
Wait.
Or just go smoke in an elevator.
Yeah. Yeah, no one. There's no rules in here.
Ooh, look at this alley.
Oh, this is a classic.
This is a classic alley.
Wow. This is a good alley.
It's a
good alley to sprint through.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Oh, now I'm thinking of Cuba Gooding Jr., his brother getting shot in the back.
Sorry, that seems like that alley.
It's a different part of town.
Yeah, I know.
It's similar.
There's another alley. In my hometown, when we had nothing to do on Friday and Saturday night in high school, we would drive up and down the alleys because they had really, they were just like this. And it was like, you try to drive fast and you try to beat the car that was going down the parallel alley. And it was like a whole thing we did.
So that was in your hometown?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's small town shit.
That sounds
small,
fun, though.
That's small town
Do you guys want to go drive in alleys or go under the bridge downtown and watch people fight?
Yeah. Both. If it's fun, yeah. We'll do both.
You know what?
What time are they fighting? Let's, I think we can do both.
Yeah, let's take all the alleys downtown. It'll be right in time for the 8 p.m. fight time.
And if the fight isn't good, we race down the alleys back, and whoever pops their tire in a pothole loses.
Yeah, the fights, some of the
fights. Yeah, whoever's going to call her dad.
Billy Wayne, how can our listeners watch you do stand-up in real life, which I would recommend is the number one way to experience Billy Wayne Davis, if you can't be friends with
him. And you've been good. If, I don't know if you're doing it or if someone's helping. You're really good at what I'm not good at, which is posting your content. You're regularly, I see clips.
Oh, that's good, because I don't think I am.
Yeah, well, they're going to me. Maybe I'm just part of your
hell yeah
algorithm.
Well, come to a show.
Yeah, and where do they go?
I think that is, like, I think a lot of us, a lot of the reels and stuff, it's just us showing other comedians.
Yeah.
You're like, we're getting a lot of views. And you're like, it's just stuff we're all sitting in the back of the room. And I was there when you filmed that.
Yeah. So your phone knows you said my name in the green room.
Yeah.
And we're in an echo chamber.
I introduced you on this set.
Oh, I realized you were handing me your phone the last time I saw a clip.
Or just what, like, hey, how did you get booked in that room? Now, I will, you can find me at bwdtour.com is my website. It's just one page, and you just
got all the links.
It's got all the shit
perfect
that you need. There's YouTube to my specials.
Nice.
There's a link to the bands in town where you can know where I'm going to be, and then there's the Instagram and X or whatever it is.
X, yeah. X, that secretly happened the other day.
Yeah, it wasn't a secret. They're real annoying about it.
Yeah.
I guess real dumb about it.
It's stupid. It's
so dumb.
I think any updates on that, when I see it, I just let a high-pitched ringtone overtake my brain and I don't listen. And so I'm acting surprised about it.
But did you guys see when he put the big flashing X on top of his building
in San Francisco
and it had to come down like a day later?
Because he didn't ask permission.
Well, that's great marketing, if we're being honest. It's brilliant promotion because everyone's like, look what Dickhead did. And then it's loud and it bugs everyone. And then the next day you're like, yeah, we're planning to take it down anyway. It's just because we knew.
Oh, man.
But there
he is smart about that stuff.
Is smart the word, or is he just doing it and then benefiting from the fact that there's no such thing as bad promotion?
Right.
Because he's not. Smart is so generous, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think he is clever. I'm not trying to give him any credit at all, but I do think where his strength is promoting.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I do think that, like that weirdo Peter Thiel, who's probably, he's listening.
And, oh, he's my uncle.
Yeah, okay, cool. And can I borrow all the money? And, I read one of his books, because I like to know what evil people like that think.
Yeah, smart.
Sure.
Or, you know, what they're up to, because if you watch movies, they'll tell you. And he kind of does. But he talked about Elon's, like, true gift is promotion. And this was before any of this nonsense. When people thought he was, like, kind of smart.
Same as Trump, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, Peter Thiel back then was like, no, his thing is, like, he's good at promotion.
Mm.
He's not, like, a engineering genius or anything like
that. He was saying this just when he was the car guy.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Before it was, like, you know, evident that, like, oh, there's something wrong with him. Like, he's not good at this.
Yeah. There's still people I know that I love and respect that aren't dumb.
This isn't my house, by the way.
I know.
That think he sat down and just...
This one be Mike. I mean,
is
I can
it
walk,
the next block?
I can walk to my house.
No. Is it the next block? Or is it just up here?
It's... No. I can see where this could happen because it's not... Turn right.
I get confused at the base of the hill.
Yeah, and you'll see why.
Okay.
You're confused.
That was your house if nothing had ever been done to it.
Kind of. Yeah, there was, like, I was like, well, I guess. Yeah.
Oh, I like a front porch hang.
Me too.
No, they're interesting. Because there's a...
Oh, I see.
See why?
Yeah.
Yep.
And like down, right?
Yeah, right there. Yeah, you were like...
I was moments away.
Yeah, like so close.
Yeah.
Damn it.
That's why I was like, huh.
You were laterally exactly in the same spot, though.
Oh, let me... Okay, here. Well, can we end on this question?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Okay, see that tree in front of my house?
Yeah.
See right here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
One. Okay. I think that's our tree. I don't know how it works. Because it's like, you know, on the other side of the sidewalk.
Yep.
But it also hangs over those guys' driveway.
Right.
And I know it hits their car and shit.
Right.
But they've never asked me to trim it. I've thought to trim it a couple times and then just didn't do it.
Yeah. What I know about property is that little patch of grass beyond the sidewalk actually isn't your responsibility. It's the city's, but no one's going to come and do it. But you could do, just as a being nice neighbor, I guess, trim.
No, you can't.
Oh, really?
If it's anything like I used to live in Burbank, you cannot touch the trees. So... if you could call 311 and be like, hey, this tree needs to
get
trimmed.
Mary J. Blige?
Does she answer? Because I would call that.
I call her every day
that
for help.
I love her.
But because I had this gigantic camphor tree in front of my house and I was like, it's my tree, blah, blah, blah. And they were like, never touch this. You'll get fined. You'll get blah, blah, blah. Like, never do anything to this tree. So I would imagine that's kind of the rule.
Right.
Or people would be fucking around in these trees all the time and then fucking the trees
We
out.
Cut one down in the back.
Mm-hmm. On your property?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's different. We didn't ask. We just did it.
Yeah, that's yours.
It helped.
Just from being yelled at, skateboarding things, getting in trouble, friends that have done little DIY skate things, that's how I know that that is not technically your property. When it's like a patch of grass on the other side.
I love.
But maybe I'm wrong.
I love civil little, like, no, you can't do anything. I'm standing right here. Like, touche. I like that.
Yeah.
You know what's super funny, though? Okay, one morning, I was making coffee, blah, blah, blah. I hear ring, ring on the doorbell. I look out. There's a cop at my door. I'm like, thank God I wasn't just getting high. And I
oh,
go.
Shit.
Because this was back when that would matter.
Nope. Well, just I wouldn't want to be like, oh, like, hey, man, what's up?
Yeah, I don't want to be high.
I'm not doing anything wrong, but also, what the fuck?
What are you doing? I'm freaking out.
Your mustache is so weird right now.
And he did look like the folk singer, is it Robbie Foulkes? The tall guy.
Robbie Foulkes? The folk singer?
Yeah. Americana guy? Anyway.
Oh, maybe.
It was like a tall kind of like, he looked like he was from Iowa, but he was a Burbank cop. And the sprinkler, something had happened, and the sprinkler had been broken off. So there was, like, a minor, like, sprinkler flood situation happening on that same little patch. And he was like, yeah, this is your responsibility. And I was like, that's weird, because I'm not allowed to touch that tree. And he goes, I know. Anyway, you got to call somebody and fix it.
I know,
was like,
right?
Are you kidding me?
I'm a Burbank cop, so I don't do anything.
He's like, I'm just informing you of what you do and don't have to take care of.
I wish there was a 311 or 411 for 311 where you could just get this information. Actually, right now is a good time to let all our listeners know, call before you dig.
Isn't it? That's what
underground wires. Sorry, I have to go through this, Billy. Underground lines will come be marked and no more needless outages. And also, you could be injured. So call before you dig. That's 411-311. No more electrocuted uncles.
This has been brought to you by the Shane Company. You've got a friend in the jewelry.
You're going to like the way you look.
Have you guys ever noticed this? And I will leave your car.
No, I love this.
Yeah, I like it when we're
like
parked.
The Burbank cops, or like there's certain like municipal when you're inside little cities where you're just like, oh, did you join like the LAPD? And you're like, this is scary. And they're like, yeah, you need to go like be a cop in Burbank.
Burbank.
It's like yelling at teenagers and
yep.
Making sure people get out of IKEA, okay? Yeah.
Yeah. Me and my friend Vicky were crossing the street one morning, and we used to walk before work, and so it was literally just around my neighborhood, and we were walking to Starbucks.
Like at 5 a.m. or something?
Like, it was probably like 6 a.m. or something.
I never have been that person.
It was really good. Nice. It was helped our stress.
Sure.
But we decided to cross against the light because there was literally no traffic. And it was on Riverside, so it was not too smart. But it was like there was no traffic coming from either direction at all. So we're like, we're just going to run across the street. Suddenly there's this motorcycle cop coming across and he's like, go back, go back. And does this whole thing. He pulls up and we're both standing on the sidewalk. And immediately, I have some problems with authority and like I'm either completely like, oh my God, I'm so scared, or I'm about to start saying some shit and getting in trouble.
Yeah.
And because this guy was so fucking he's like, do you know how many people we have to wipe up off the road that are crossing
at 6 in the morning?
Yes. And in Burbank, where I'm like, sir, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, how many? Go. Shoot.
Give me the numbers. Tell it was so irritating.
Do you know? Like, oh, this is perfect for my podcast. How many?
It's a good looking electric Honda.
Oh.
I'm going to get one.
That is pretty nice.
Yeah. I don't like the back. Sorry. What were you going to say?
You can fix the back.
With some welding.
But it's like Santa Monica cops. You know what I mean? Malibu has cops.
Yeah.
They do.
That's cool.
With cars that say Malibu on the side. There's a palm tree in the logo.
I mean, I'm sure it's the most annoying calls ever. Like, this bitch won't move her car.
My neighbor's horse dented my surfboard.
Yeah, just a bunch of women accusing their maid of things.
Yeah.
A lot of that kind of.
They stole my necklace. Which one? This one I'm wearing?
Oops.
Ma'am, how many pills are you on?
All of them. It's all day, every day.
Have you seen that?
I get to.
I live on the beach, but I'm not allowed to go in the water.
My husband said, no, swimming.
No.
And then he says, like, no water until my face heals.
It is a different. What's weird about Malibu is, like, it's money from all over.
Yeah.
It's not, like, a type. Like, certain neighborhoods here, you're like, well, if you get this much money and you want to be this type, you go there.
Yeah.
And then Malibu's just like, oh, it's a free-for-all. It's just like, if you got a bunch of money, you can live here, and they don't go together. No one hangs out.
Yeah. They're all just hidden and on their beaches where you're not allowed to walk. Yeah.
I get it. It is my goal. It's one of the first places I've ever been in the world where I was like, oh, I get why this costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
And that's what you're trying to do with your street, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm just going to wipe it all out and just make it a beach.
Your house looks great. You're doing great. I'm glad your son skates.
I'm not leaving. I know what you're doing.
And I, not to sound conclusionary.
Just say you're giving me the light. And I'm like, No.
Four more stories.
I'm going to need some cigarettes. I'm about to Dave Chappelle this.
No, we're going to keep
going.
We're
in this car for 8 hours.
I just want to say it's been nice having you on this episode.
Oh, wait, he's dragging a stool over here.
Hold on, y'all.
He just put on sunglasses and set up a spotlight. thanks for being on, buddy. You're hilarious.
Thanks for having... Anytime you guys want to roll through, that was awesome.
Yeah.
So, great to see you.
Yeah.
Good to see you guys.
And I mean it this time. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride?
Hey, one more thing.
This has been an Exactly Right production.
Produced by Annalise Nelson.
Mixed by Edson Choi.
Our talent booker is Patrick Kottner.
Theme song by Karen Kilgariff.
Artwork by Chris Fairbanks. Follow the show on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Dynar Podcast. That's DYNAR Podcast.
For more information, go to exactlyrightmedia.com.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Follow Do You Need a Ride on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen so you never miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, rate and review the show.
And visit the ExactlyRightStore.com to purchase Do You Need a Ride merch.